Okay, last time we discussed the halachos of tefillah b'yom, we left a few loose ends. So I just want to try to tie those up and finish that topic in Siman Kuf Sadi Zayin, that'll move on to Chafifa. So we had noted the position of the Chamude Daniel, according to Pitzkei Tshuva, that the kind of onus that allows a woman to go to the mikvah on day 8 is only a communal onus, which seemed to be reflective of the various examples of the Gemara. As opposed to the mashmas of the Rambam, peridalat al-chachas, the Rambam includes choli among those items, situations that would allow a woman to go to the mikvah bayom hashmini, which sounds like even a personal onus would be a sufficient reason to allow tefillah bayom under those circumstances. There's an interesting suggestion in the Tofos Re'eim, which is the super commentary on the Ureim. The Reim Simen Kavav, Reim Kavav is a very long simen, which has Hilchos Nida. So there's an interesting line in the Reim, then we'll take a look at what the Tofos Reim says. The Reim writes as follows. I'll pull up on the screens. The Reim writes, this is second to last line in the copy I have in front of you. Rashi Pirei Shelo Tizbol Bashvi'i, because it's Rachbita. Excuse me. V'im Yesh Sakanas Ganavim, O Inyan Acher, Shatorach, this is moving too quickly to get on the screen. Second. Okay, I'm not sure why I can't get it, but I'll just read it to you. Im ye sakanas ganavim o inyan acher shatorach rabba, that if there are ganavim, or another situation that creates a tircha to go to the mikvah balayla, kigon Shahanar Rachok, for example, there is a practical travel issue that makes it difficult but not impossible to go to the mikvah. So in that case, Rav Achbar Yaakov Shar Lamit Bal Biyamama did Timnaya Mishum, and then he goes to Gemara Mishum Ganavim, the various examples of the Amorim. Then he says, so it sounds like the Ureim has a fairly broad allowance for what constitutes a tefillah bayom situation. The number one, he says, inyan acher shatorach rabba, that if there's tirch involved. And number two, he adds, that the rabbanim of the generation, the rabbanim of the town, have the right to expand on the situations that allow tefillah bayom. So the Tofos Re'eim notes in Sivkatan Reish Lamed Dalid. Let's see if we can get it back on the screen here. Sorry. I'm in difficulty with spacing, but the Tofos Re'eim notes that where the Rambam get chola from, that's the one example the Rambam quotes, that's not in the Gemara. So he suggests that the Rambam may have had a different girsa in the Gemara. We have one of the examples of Amorim was Aryusa. There were lions present that posed a danger to travel at night. He suggests maybe the Rambam had the girsa instead of Aryusa of Briusa, of health, that you're allowed to go to the mikvah bayom if there are health considerations that would prevent your going balayla. So maybe that's where the Rambam got it from. He didn't make it up, but that was his gears in the Gemara. And the Mechaber, who doesn't have choli on the list, so he's going with the gears of Lefanenu that has Aryusa. Rabbi Karp notes that in the number of Rishonim that seem to indicate beyond the Rambam, that there is a possibility of going for a private onus. So the Urain that we just saw clearly holds that as well. The Rabban also in Perek Tes Halacha Kaf in his Halachos refers to a dochek, hayasham dochek. If there is a dochek situation, that would allow you to go to the mikvah bayom. It doesn't sound like that's dafka communal dochek. It sounds like even individual dochek as well. There's a tshuva in the Divrei Malkiel, the Lam Jerav, Chelik Beis, Simon and Zayin, who discusses this Chamude Daniel, quoting the Pesach tshuva, and discusses the Rambam's position that seems to be at odds with the Pesach tshuva. He suggests that maybe there's not a stira. Maybe even the Rambam that allows for going to the mikvah in a situation of choli would not necessarily extend that to any personal individual onus. Maybe there's something unique about choli. Namely, the reason that these situations of the Amoraim do not pose a problem of srach bita, or we allow tefillah b'yom hashmini despite the concern of potential srach bita, is because these are situations that everyone's aware of, and it would be clear that the reason the woman is going to mikvah bayom is because it's dangerous to go at night, and not because that you're allowed to go during the daytime, other situations as well. So maybe that's true in a situation of choli as well, suggests the Divrei Malkiel, that if someone's sick, so it's known that she's sick, that she has this medical condition, and the reason that she's going bayom could be attributed to that medical condition, and a person would not necessarily extrapolate from that to other onus or other situations as well. So he suggests that even the Rambam may not be as broad as others understand the Rambam to be. Okay, Rabbi Karp has another observation that the Urayim and the Ramban that we just alluded to seem to be makel to allow tefillah by Yom Hashmini even in situations of inconvenience, where it may still be possible to go to the mikvah balayla, but it would be inconvenient to do so. That was Lashon of the Ramban, refers to a dochek, or the Urayim that seems to be pretty expansive, perhaps to allow going to the mikvah by Yom HaShmini, even in situations of inconvenience. But in other Rishonim, you don't necessarily get that impression, even if you have an expanded onus to the kind of choli or other personal onesim, but there may only be an onus where it would be impossible to go to the mikvah balayla, but not merely inconvenient. Okay. We also discussed last time the Machlokes, or Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, as to whether a woman can go to the mikvah where she's going to be arriving at the mikvah or leaving the house or doing something prior to the Zman Tevila. The Rabbeinu Tam allows going to the mikvah potentially by Yom as long as she returns home Misha Hashecha, and the Rashbam argues. Now, the Beis Yosef presents a difference in the Suach among Rishonim as to the scope of that position of the Rashbam, the Deya HaMachmira. So Beis Yosef writes, let's pull it up here. Beis Yosef writes, "L'divrei Rashbam nira midivrei haMordechai vasmag, shetzarach shelo teitzei mibeisa lalechas beisa tefila ad shetachshach." That a woman is not allowed to leave her house to go to the mikvah until it's dark. She'im hi yotza samach l'chashecha, because we're concerned that if she's going to leave the house samach l'chashecha when it's still light outside, af al pi shekishetavo litbal kvar chashecha, even though by the time she arrives at the mikvah it's already dark, chayshinan shema habath tachshov shebimikra huzeh shebeisa tefila rachok, that maybe the daughter or whoever the srach bita victim is will think that in this particular situation the mother left early to get to the mikvah because it's far away. Aval ina chanami shafilu haya la tefila besoch beisa haisa tevelis b'shazu. But maybe, had the mikvah been closer, she would have left at the same time anyway, and gone to the mikvah bayom. Shetizbar shetavela shetfila bayom kshera. So the Rashbam thinks that's the mashmos of the Mordechai and the Smag, that a woman is not allowed to leave the house to go to the mikvah mibo'od yom, even if she's only going to arrive at the mikvah misha chashecha. Aval midivrei Rash, nira de lo kapid Rashbam, ela shelo titbol ashetechshach. But according to the Rash's version of the Rashbam, the kpeda is only that she should not go to the mikvah balayla, but she can leave the house, that she shouldn't go to the mikvah mibo'od yom, but she can leave the house mibo'od yom. Of his mind, you see me base a little cupid. Fine. So what are these mashmayos? So the Mordechai in Simon Tashin Mem Zayin, quotes the Rashbam as saying, Rashbam hayamatzrich laleches litbol laachar chashecha. That the Rashbam required that a woman goes to the mikvah laachar shechashecha. That sounds like she can't leave the house until it's dark. She can't leave the house until it's Zman Tvila. As opposed to the Rush, Mikvah Simon Lamed Vav, the Rush writes, Rashbama Yamachmir, Shalot Titbol Ad Shetekshach, that she should not go to the Mikvah until it's dark, but there's no Kpeid about leaving the house, Miba'od Yom. Okay, so that's how the Beis Yosef understands Mechlokes of the lady Rishonim, how to understand the Shitas HaRashbam. Is it usher to leave the house from Bodyom, even if you're going to get to the mikvah Misha Chashecha, or is the only Kepeda that you can't go to the mikvah, you can't be Toveles Ad Shetechshach? The Bach writes the following. Sivkat and Zion. Aval ikir nira li, demasha kasvu ha-Mordechai v'asmag, Rashbam ha-yamatzrich l'leches litbol achar chashecha, hachi ka'armi, ha-yamatzrich l'leches mi-besa b'inyan she-tisha'er she-kishetagia l'besa tvila te-chashecha v'titbol achar chashecha. So the Bach reads the Mordechai to be more in line with the Rush, that even though the Mordechai says the Rashbam ayamatzrich laleches litbol achar chashecha, he didn't really mean that literally. He just meant that she has to ensure that she's going to only arrive at the mikvah once it's zman tefila. V'zeu dekaamar laleches litbol achar chashecha, kolamar halicha hi b'inyan detzricha litbol achar chashecha. It doesn't mean that she has to literally only leave the house, Misha Chashecha. I mean, she has to cheshbin that she's going to arrive at the mikvah, Misha Chashecha. Ela demidivrei Tosfos, shekasvu derabbeinu tam amar, she'ein kepei derak kishetashuv lebeisa shia laila, ve'ein tzar shetetze belaila mibeisa, mashma shebala hotzi mipirsh rashbam, demasrich shetetze mibeisa belaila, So he understands that the Rashbam didn't mean that literally, that the critical point is when are you getting to the mikvah, not when are you leaving the house. And then the Bach has an additional kula within the Rashbam. V'nira the kolza mayri kisha isha rochetzes v'chofefes bebesa v'lechas l'makom tefila. Hasam de'ika mishim srach bita l'market dislay, the market dislay. So the whole discussion, the whole machlokes, Rabbeinu Tam of the Rashbam, is only relevant to when is a woman allowed to leave the house, when does a woman rather need to arrive at the mikvah, where she's doing the preparations at home. According to Rashbam, she's doing the preparations at home. She can't arrive at the mikvah until Zman Tefila. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, she could arrive even earlier. Aval kishiyesh merchatz v'beisa tefila b'malkam echad, v'isha alechatz mibad yom l'merchatz shah ushtayim kodem chashecha. But if the woman is going to be doing the preparations in the mikvah, and she's going to arrive there well before Zman Tefila in order to prepare, and she's going to return home after dark, Afa pisha Amerikas or Malcolm Tfila Karva Samachla Besa, even if the mikvah is down the block, Ein Khan Vishim Srach Bita, Sabasya Das, Shihishoa Birchitza Vichatifa, Vimirchatz, Veina Tavelas, Ella Misha Hashecha, Yaflurashbam, Ink Pay the Klau, Upashidu. So the Bach thinks that if the woman is going to be making preparations at the mikvah, then everyone would agree there's no concern of Srach Bita because the daughter or the other person that is going to observe and potentially make a mistake or get confused about the permissibility of Tefillah Bayom is going to realize that the woman is doing the chafifa, the preparation at the mikvah, and not make the erroneous extrapolation that Tefillah Bayom is permissible. So this is quoted, this Bach is quoted essentially Lalacha by Lashach and Sivkat and Vav. And that's how we assume that even though a woman, generally speaking, in principle, the Shach says you have to be choshish for the Rashbam, which is a stima slashen mechaber that gives no indication of any kula of going to the mikvah prior to Zman Tefila. But, you know, number one, we assume that the only problem would be if you're going to arrive at the mikvah potentially mevod yom before Zman Tefila. And if you're going to do preparations at the mikvah, then that's permissible to arrive at the mikvah even earlier. And there's no concern of Srach Bita. That's what the Shach quotes in Sivkat and Vav from this Bach. Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Rav Eliashiv that you know, where you have crowded mikvahs, you need more time for hachanos, then there's no concern of arriving at the mikvah earlier based on essentially an extension of this Bach. Okay. The Rama writes in the end of Sif Gimel, Vakalos hatovlos kodem achupa, yicholos litbol bayo. So a kala goes to the mikvah in advance of her chupa, is allowed to go to the mikvah bayom. Because she's not going to come to be with the chasan until night. But if you have a chuppas nida situation where there's a chuppas nida, then it's time to go to the mikvah, or she didn't go to the mikvah before the chuppah, then there's no exemption for the restriction of tefillah bayom for a kala. Okay, where does this come from? So there's in the Maril, Minhage Maril, Nida Os Aleph, the Minhage Maril has as follows. The Amar, the Maril said, Shagam HaKalos She'enan Tahoros Bishas HaChupa Lios Tovlin Az. So a kala who's not tahora at the time of the chuppah, she must be tovelos balayla. Omnam, kishetovlos b'shas anisuin. But if a kala is going to the mikvah in advance of the chuppah, yichol lipam v'bo yom, she can go to the mikvah during the daytime. Me achar de'enan ba'os eitzel achasan ba'osa halayla kodem birchas nisuin. Since the kalos are not both eitzel achasan that night, prior to birchas hanisuin. So what the Maril seems to be talking about is that even though in general we would never allow a woman to go to the mikvah bayom hashvi'i because of a concern of shema v'tir v'tistor, that maybe she'll see dam, that'll be so saras v'shivnakiyim, then she's going to be with her husband, and that's going to be a potential chiyuv kares. But that concern of shema tir v'tistor is not relevant for a kala who's only going to be in a position to potentially be with her husband balayla. And what about srach bita? So implicitly, we're not concerned about srach bita in this kind of situation to allow tefila bayom, because this is beyond the scope of a classic low pluck. A kala is so different, it's such a unique situation that we're not concerned that someone sees a kala going to the mikvah by Yom HaShvi, they're going to extrapolate that tefillah by Yom is generally permissible. So that's what seems to emerge from the Minhagim Aril that is the source of this Ramah, that dafka for kala l'chachila, you should plan in advance that kala is able to go to the mikvah balayla and not wait till the last minute the day before the chuppah. But in a situation where, as we explained earlier, that you shouldn't l'chachila be marchik more than 4 days between the tefillah of a kala and the chuppah. But in a situation where she wasn't able to get a clean hefsek tara at an earlier date, and then things got delayed until she's able to get a clean hefsek tara, it's already putting her exactly a week before the wedding, and Yom Zayin ends up being on the day right before the chuppah. So then the Ramah, based on this Maril, allows her going to the mikvah by Yom. Okay. The later Achronim were bothered in trying to understand the Shach in Sivkat and Tess writes as follows: Nira the Hainu Dafka Lididan Shakalos Einan Tovlos Bezayan. That this is Dafka according to our practice that we allow Kalos to start their process of Shivan Nikiyim more than 7 days before the chuppah. So she's going to end up not having to go to the mikvah on day seven. Chachmashma real the mayri v'chai gavna. Ava b'makam shakalas tovlas b'zayin. Oli didan im ira la tefila b'zayin. Kigonjin eskalkla b'mei sfirasa. Da'oz tovelas miyad l'achar zayin. Eina yukhola litbol bayom. However, if it's going to end up being a real day Zion, so then there's no heter for Kala to go to the mikvah on day Zion. And it's only where she started her hefsek tara and she started the tara process more than 7 days before the chuppah, and she wasn't able to go to the mikvah on whatever her day seven was, and now it's the day before the chasana, which is day eight, so then she can go to the mikvah by Yom on day eight. But if the chasana is that night, and it's only day seven, then the Maril didn't allow you to go to the mikvah b'chiya gavna. So that doesn't seem to be how the Maril of Fanenu presents things. And you know, all the later Achronim find difficulty with the Shach. Is that really what the Ramah meant? That the Ramah seems to be talking about Tefila Bayom, based on Bayom HaShvi, based on the Maril. So if you look, for example, in the Torah Sashlamim, Torah Sashlamim Sivkat and Ches quotes the Shach. He says, Dvariv Temuim L'chora, Kevin Datamu Shilobon Eitzel Achasan Adalaila, Imkain Afim Tistor L'mafreya, Ein Chashash Isser. So what are you worried about? Shematir V'tistor? There's no Shematir V'tistor because she's not going to be with the Chasan in any way till night. V'afshar the lomer kavanas hashach and become makom b'yom azayin gazrina do like tabo itzal achasim b'yom mashen ke b'yom ches. So are we worried that maybe she will be with a chasim b'yom? Do rak zera mishem zrak bita and deches lo gazrina kuli hay zera lo gzera. So he doesn't think that's a reasonable concern, that we're worried that the chasen is going to be with the kala bayom if the chuppah is at night. And the Dagal Mervava argues as well on the side with Dvar Tzachian. The hatter mishim she'en mevina seitz l'chasen u'kein yefshel lavo l'v'ila zava afa pikein lam lo libo shel min chaz yakav l'akal l'shach. So the Torah Sashlamim didn't want to be cholag on the shach l'halacha. So the Dagur Vava says, as long as the chuppah is only going to be after Seis, then you could be mekel. So the Dagur Vava says, if the chuppah is going to be at night, So then they have the right to be megal. That's really what the Rama meant, the shach notwithstanding. If the chub is going to be bayom, even if the yichud is only balayla, so then it's harder to be megal. And some are megal even there. There's Rabbi Kaveger and the Nodri Hudas Tam of the Chuv Me'ava. In principle, things that you could be megal even if the yichud is only going to be balayla, if the chub is bayom. So lemaisa, we definitely megal to allow a kallah to go to mikveh if necessary by yom, if the chuppah is going to be balayla. We're not so quick to be makel if the chuppah is going to be by yom. I saw Rabbi Morgenstern across from Rabbi Yashiv that in situations like that, he recommended just delaying the chuppah. Because there are many reasons that weddings get delayed. So if it's reasonable to just delay it a little bit more to buy time and make sure that the chuppah is going to be after Tzeis, maybe even after Shkia, then that would be acceptable to allow Tefillah Bayom under those circumstances. But the Shulchan is willing to be Mekel, push comes to shove, even if the Chuppah is Bayom, as long as the Yichud is only going to be Balayla. The Aruch HaShulchan has a extrapolation from this Rama, which is not really quoted by other poskim. Aruch HaShulchan writes, "V'nir l'ni yistayti, d'lidivei gedolim elu, kol she'ein b'yachalta b'shum panim lava kodim alayla, afilu isha gemura hadin kein." So based on the Rama, based on the Maril, even in not a kala situation, but any situation of a woman where it's totally impossible that she's going to be with the husband at Halayla, so then you have the right to be mekel for tefillah bayom. Kigon shehi rechoka min abal meshach hatzi yom ayoser, that where they're physically distanced at a distance that would take half a day to travel. Where there's no way that they could be with each other till night. The Aruch HaShulchan says, even not a kala, but if you reproduce that kind of a kala situation where there's no Shema Tira Vitistor, so then you could be makel even by Yom Zayin. The Ein Kan Shem Chashash. I, Srach Bita. Srach Bita should apply. So they're also, just like we say, kala is such a sui generis situation that no one's going to extrapolate from a kala to other more normal tefillah scenarios. So here too, if the husband and wife are at a significant distance from each other, so srach bita doesn't apply. No one's going to extrapolate to allow tefillah bayom where the husband's in town. So that seems like a very mechudishtik extension of the Rama. Rabbi Carr points out in his Beir Halacha Sifkat and Dalid that it's difficult to accept that understanding of Srach Bita, especially because Srach Bita operates with a pretty broad low plug. And who's to say that someone else who observes a woman going to the mikvah bayom is going to know that her husband is at a distance and they couldn't get together by night. And even on day 8, Rabbi Karp says in that kind of situation that lo matzino had to go bayom hashmini unless there's a real onus. But just because the husband's out of town and is not going to arrive till nightfall, that is not matir tefila by yom hashmini. Okay. Even though most achronim are not concerned about the shach and do allow a kala to go to the mikvah by yom hashvi, as long as the chuppah is going to be belayla, the Avnei Nezer does endorse the shach lalacha. Avnei Nezer simin resh nun osei. Simon Reish Nun Osei, and he has an interesting additional consideration. He says, not only can a kala not go to the mikvah because of the shach's cheshbon, that we're still concerned of the theory of Shema Atir V'Tistor. But if she were to go to the mikvah, it would be a bracha levatala. Why? So just like we saw Tosus and Ksubas Daf Ayin Beis explain that the reason there's no bracha on Sfiras Shiva Nakiyim is because we're concerned of a chashash bracha levatala, Shema Atir V'Tistor. You don't say a bracha on Sfiras Shiva Nakiyim because who's to say that you're going to complete the count? So the same should be true when it comes to Tvila Bayom Hashvi, because Tvila Bayom Hashvi, we do not allow for the same reason of Shema Atir V'Tistor, where she's going to see Dam later in the day, and that's going to be Soseres her Shiva Nakiyim. So just like Shema Atir V'Tistor is a reason not to say bracha on Sefira, it's also a reason not to say bracha on Tevila. So says the Avnei Nezer. I saw in Rabbi Wallhander say for the Gufei Alachos in Mishnah Sofrim Os Yud Aleph in our Simon, he quotes, he doesn't say who he's quoting, but he says he quotes someone who answered the Avnei Nezer that no, there's a big difference. The point of Tosus and Ksubis is that Chazal were never misakein a bracha on Sfiras Shiva Nakiyim because of a concern of Shema Atir V'Tistor. So that was an overriding enough concern. They were never misakein a bracha. But there clearly is a bracha on Tevila. So the fact that there may be a rare scenario in which a woman goes to the mikvah by Yom HaShvi, so that rare scenario doesn't impact on the bracha. The Chazal were misakein a bracha in general for any Tevila situation. So even if you have one particular instance where there may be a concern of Shema Atir V'Tistor, but Chazal misakein a bracha on Tevila, even b'chiyah gavna, that doesn't, that's not the same as saying that Chazal were never misakein a bracha on Sfira because of a concern of Shema Atir V'Tistor. Okay. Any comments, questions, Cyrus, before we go on? Okay. So let's move on now to Chafifa, which is Simen Kuf Tzadi Tes. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Pei Beis, in the context of various Takanos Ezra, lists the bottom of Pei Beis and Aleph onto Amud Beis. Shitei isha chofefes v'tovelas, that a woman must perform chafifa in advance of tevila. So we're not going to define chafifa quite yet. A woman needs to be chofefes v'tovelas. Es gemara daraisa. That's not the Kanas Ezra, that's a din daraisa. D'tanya, v'rachatz es b'saro b'mayim, shelo yehe davar chotzeitz bein b'saro l'mayim. That you can't have a chatzitza when you go to the mikvah, that's a din daraisa. Es b'saro, es atafel b'saro, mayni u'sayar. The Gemara learns from es b'saro that sayar is included in chatzitza as well. Chatzitza b'sayar. Amri daraisa l'iyune dilma miktar. The din daraisa is the way to obviate a potential chatzitza concern in the Torah is liyune, simply to be ma'ayin, dilma mikter, that it's not knotted, that you don't have a knot. Inami ma'us, midi, misham chatzitza. Or to make sure that there's nothing that is ma'us, Rashi says muluchlach, that's dirty, that would pose a problem of chatzitza. So min ha-Torah, the way to ensure there's no chatzitza is through iyun. Va'asa iyu tikun chafifa. And along came Ezra, and it was misakein an additional layer to ensure that there's no chatzitza, and that is called chafifa. Okay, so what is the etymology of chafifa? What does the word mean before we discuss what it entails? The Aruch HaShulchan, in the beginning of the Siman, Kuf Tzadi Tes, he notes that on the one hand, Rashi, there in Bava Kamma, Pei Beis, Amud Beis on the top, Rashi writes, a chafifa is b'masrek, with a comb. Chafifa requires a comb. And yet, the Gemara in the Mishnah, Nazir, quoted other places in Shas also, Nazir, Min Beis, Min Aleph, the Gemara has it in Shabbos on Daf Nun, I think. So there, the Mishnah has the expression that Nazir Chofef Umifaspes, that a Nazir has to be Chofef, has to, or is allowed to be Chofef, is allowed to rub his hair. Mifaspes, he can go like that. Avalo Sorek, but he can't comb. So there, the term Sorek is different than the term Chofef. Rashi in Bava Kama says Chafifa Isrika, it's combing. The Mishnah Nazir says that Nazir is allowed to be Chofef in Mifaspes. He's not allowed to be Sorek, so clearly Chafifa is something different than Srika. So with that impetus, the Aruch HaShulchan suggests that in the context of the preparation for tvila for a woman, the term chafifa includes potentially different kinds of preparations. It could include combing, but the word itself etymologically doesn't mean combing. He thinks chafifa etymologically is milashon chichach, milashon rubbing. Just as the Gemara has in Brachos of Vavim and Aleph, the Gemara there says that the clothing of Tamidim are quick to get worn out because of Chufya. What's Chufya? The Rashi explains the Chufya of the Mazikim that sit next to the Tamidim and are Mischachachim Behem and rub against them. Just like the term that a Nazir is Chofif, a Nazir is allowed to rub his hair. So there the Mazikim are rubbing against the Tamidim. So rubbing could take place in the context of rubbing your hands. It could be rubbing with soap. It could be rubbing with a comb. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan thinks the actual Perish Hamilim of Chafifa might be, Milashon Mischachech, rubbing. And then he notes that the Yerushalmi, Perek Beis Psachim, which Tosfos quotes, we'll get to this Tosfos a little bit later, on Samach Vav and Beis Anida. So there the Yerushalmi has a line that Nida Chofefes Visorekes Vitovelas. So the Bavli only has Chofefes Vitovelas. And the Aruch HaShulchan just explained that Chafifa, which means rubbing, would encompass combing as well. But the Yerushalmi lists Sorekes as a separate category, Chofefes Sorekes Vitovelas. He says, even according to the Yerushalmi, the Takana of Ezra of Chafifa could have still included the Srika as well. He doesn't think that's necessarily a machlokas, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi per se, that Sorekes could be another step. It's something other than Chafifa, but the term Chafifa still could be kolel, and that's definitely the intention of the Yerushalmi, could be kolel various steps, including combing. Yeah, Mayor.
Just a riot of the Aruch HaShulchan is the Lashon HaPasuk of Chofef Balav Kol Hayom. That the word means hovering. It doesn't mean combing. It means hovering, which is like rubbing, which makes a lot of sense.
Hovering like rubbing? I was going to get to that Pasuk in a minute.
Oh.
But because the Sidri Torah quotes that Pasuk, and I think the Sidri Torah is saying something different than the Aruch HaShulchan.
Oh, okay. I just assumed it can go together. It can, like, I mean, in the pasuk it means hovering, like you know, the
or like hovering in the covering sense, like covering over.
Yeah, exactly. So rubbing is not, you know, in English there's two words, but it could mean, you know, like, yeah, I mean, you need a third word to properly, but it's like being over something or tending to something. So
right, the targum is milashon magain, to protect. Uh-huh. I think.
Okay. So if that's a direct translation, that doesn't help us, but we don't know that that's a direct translation.
Right, but that's a Rashi quote also. I think you're correct that if you open a Hebrew-English Chumash, the English translation is probably going to be something like hovering, but the Lashon HaTargum is protecting, and that seems to be how Rashi understands also. I'm looking if I have an R scroll Chumash here. I don't think I do.
Okay, but it definitely doesn't mean combing.
It does not mean combing. That's correct.
So the Aruch HaShulchan's point still could stand. I mean, I didn't know that other poskim take the pasuk differently, but the Aruch HaShulchan's point that combing is not the meaning of the word; it's included in a broader meaning.
Right.
Could be implied by the pasuk.
Okay. I actually see an R scroll Chumash, so I'm going to grab it 1 second. I'm just curious how they translate chofef. He screens him.
So that's like the Targum.
Yeah, the Targum says magain, and Rashi says mechasel, so magain alav. He covers him and shields him. Is that what screens mean?
Screen is like shield.
Okay. Fine. Not screen like vetting. Okay.
Right.
Fine. So the Sidrei Tara. 1 second. The Sidrei Tara thinks that the Iker Lashon Chafifa is Miloshon Greda Megared. What's the best English translation of Megared?
Scraping,
good, right. And he says that's pshat in chofef alav kol hayom. Chofef alav kol hayom miloshon migared. Does anyone? How do you understand the pasuk that way? I didn't see any of the mefarshim or the classic rishonim in the Mikras Gedolos explain it that way. But I mean chofef alav kol hayom. The garaid, scraping? What's the scraping? That's how he understands Nazir Chofef and Mephaspes. The Chofef is scraping. He says, even if the Iker, and that's kind of like the closer to Srika. He says, even if that's what the literal meaning of chafifa is, it still includes other elements of rechitza as well, as we'll see. So in practice, I don't think these two suggestions of the etymology make any difference, because chafifa is going to be broad enough to potentially include various elements of the preparation for tevila. Just a question of what the word actually means.
Is it possible that they're saying the same thing? That the Sidrei Tara isn't saying that the pasuk literally means scraping, because like you said, it's hard to read that into the pasuk, but he's saying, as opposed to other aspects of rechitza, he's pointing out that the word chafifa relates directly to the touching and the tending to, you know, like combing, whether it's with a comb or not, combing, rubbing, scrubbing, as opposed to washing, and that's what he's drawing up on the pasuk for.
Maybe. I mean, he is very much in the rest of the piece, he very much stresses the masreik and the srika and the shitas Rashi that emphasizes that element of chafifa as being definitional. So there is, I think, still a little bit of a difference between him and the Aruch HaShulchan, but it may not be of. But you might be correct that the main thrust is lafuke, that it doesn't mean rechitza. But in terms of the actual words, that's still different than, I don't think he means the same thing. I think rubbing and scraping are different. Rubbing encompasses more than just combing, and scraping is more combing. But maybe you're right. Okay. be that as it may, there is a, the Gemara presents in Bavakama, there is Iyun, which is requirement of Torah, and there is Chafifa, which is Mishum Takanas Ezra. So this is Machlokas Rishonim, right? Perhaps different gradations within the Rishonim, as to what exactly is it in Daraisa and what is Mishum Takanas Ezra. The Tosos need the Samuch Vavam and Beis, Dibra Maskel Im Samuch. They quote a position of Rabbeinu Shmaya B'Shem Rashi that Chafifa is B'chol Haguf. That Chafifa is performed on the entire body. Yeah, this is to the exclusion of Shita Rabbeinu Tam, which we'll come to, that Chafif is only B'Sayar, B'Rosh. So Tosa quotes, B'Machsa Rabbeinu Shmarya, Mefaresh B'Shem Rashi. And there are three versions, whether it's Rabbeinu Simcha, Rabbeinu Shmarya, Rabbeinu Shmarya. Rabbeinu Simcha would be the Machzer Vitri. Rabbeinu Shmaya is someone else. So the Machzer Rabbeinu Shmaya Mefarish B'Shem Rashi, the B'chol Aguf Shai Chafifa, that Chafifa is relevant B'chol Aguf, not only B'Rosh. K'darmina B'Perikol Kisvei, Haresha Hayashem Kasev Al-Basar, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Kafa Mebeis, the person has Shem Hashem embedded on his flesh. Hareza lo yachof, he can't be chofef. So clearly we're not talking about Shem Hashem on his head, we're talking about Shem Hashem begufo, al gufo. And there the din is you can't be chofef. So that seems to be a raya, that chafifa is shayach b'chol aguf, not only barosh. B'miyu b'kol svarim leka elo l'yirchas lo yosok, so maybe that's not such a great raya, says Tosfos, because most Gersos in the Gemara did not have the line of Lo Yachov. Okay. The Ode Maisi Raya, Mida Maisi Lekaman, Ahi De Isha Chofefes Balayla, the Tavelis Balayla, Me Uvda Dahava Be Reish Galusa, the Amr La Avdi Chasart, Dodi Chasart, Tistiki Chasart. So the Gemara there has a story on Samuel Zayin of Abbeis, to Samech Samen Aleph, that Abba Mari's wife was not going to the mikveh when she should have. There's some ketata, and then Rav Nachman got involved and asked her why you didn't go to the mikveh. So the there was a rhetorical remark of. Dodi chasart, tishtiki chasart, avdi chasart. What's avdi chasart? Says Rashi, lahavi mayim ulachamim. Were you lacking water in order to do the chafifa? So says Tosfos, Perish Avdi Chasar Lahavi Mayim Lahachem Lirchos Kol Haguf Dilachavivis Arosh Lo Baikulayai. So the retort was, were you lacking water to do chafifa? If chafifa is only barosh, you don't need so much water to do that chafifa. It must be the fact that the Rav Nachman used this expression, are you lacking water? That chafifa requires a significant amount of water, indicating that it has to be b'chol aguf and not only barosh. Okay, so that's what Tosfos quotes here from Rashi. Interestingly, secondhand from Rashi, the Rashi in Bava Kamma doesn't seem to be saying that way, because Rashi in Bava Kamma says chafifa is b'masreik. That's the entirety of Rashi's definition of chafifa, and b'masreik is presumably only barosh, and not the rest of the body. But be that as it may, this version of Rashi quoted in our Tosfos assumes that chafifa is b'chol haguf, as opposed to the Bein HaTam, that chafifa is only barosh and not b'chol haguf, which is the position of Rov Rishonim. Now there is a further breakdown in the position that it has to be barosh. Is it dafka barosh or any hair? So there been a time in Bava Kamma on Pei Beis Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskal Shetehei. Bava Kamma Pei Beis Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskal Shetehei. The Bein HaTam there assumes that chafif is only in the hair on the head, as opposed to the Ramban, the Rashi, and other Rishonim who assume that chafif is on all hair, not only hair on the head. And that's what the Shach assumes like in the beginning of the Siman. The Shach in Sivkat and Aleph. Mechaber writes, V'sricha la'adiach beis ha'shachi beis ha'starim shela b'mayim, u'lisrok sa'ar rosha yafa b'masreik, shelo tiyana sa'arasa nidbako zu b'zu. And the Shach and Sivkat and Aleph quotes those Rishonim. The Mechaber just says Seir Rosha, because the Rambam that we'll get to a little bit later, and the Rashba, that the Takana of Chafifa is Bechol Mokom Seir, wherever there's hair, could go in Sar Beis HaShachi, Beis HaErva, Lo Sar Rosha Bilvad, Kakasav Ra'avan, Chimash B'Baran. So even though the Mechaber only references Seir HaRosh, the Shach quotes the number of Rishonim and assumes halacha that the requirement of Chafifa, the unique requirement of Chafifa for Seir, is relevant to all hair, not just hair on the head. Okay, so we'll come back to this a little bit later. Let's look at the Ritva, Samach Vav Amid Beis, Dibra Maskel Nimseis Lamed. Okay, the Ritva, Samach Vav Amid Beis, Dibra Maskel Nimseis Lamed. Okay. And, we just know that even though Tosfos Rabbein HaTam hold that the requirement for chafifa is only technically b'sayar b'sar rosh, but Tosfos concludes v'chi nesh anu medame nasa maisa, that the minug is to do rechitza skol aguf, even if m'ikra din, the technical requirement of chafifa is only for hair, only for the head. But Mishum and Haga, we do Rechitzas Kol Haguf, and we'll come back to that as we go on as well. So as far as what constitutes iyun relative to chafifa, the Ritva writes, mashma de iyune darmina midaraisa hainu bidika gredasa afila shelo b'mayim v'shelo b'masrek. We talk about the requirement of iyun predating takanas ezer, the din daraisa of iyun. All that requires is bidika without any water, without a comb. She just runs her fingers through her hair. The Ezra tikan chafifa b'masreik b'mayim chamin b'malkam sayar. So the requirement of iyun is only bidika without any water, and Ezra's misakein you have to do without water, without a comb. And Ezra's misakein you need both. You need a comb, and you need water. You need hot water. The Ravid writes that Iyun also requires water. So the Gemara discusses a scenario where a woman finds a chatzitza achar tvila. So if she did the chafifa right before tvila, then we're concerned that maybe the davar chotzeitz came afterwards. The cave under ka'amar v'nimsa leha vade al gufa nimsa v'lo al sa'ara. So what's the scenario? The woman went to the mikveh and then she finds something. Where does she find something? She finds something on her body. In Cain, Lamale Lamisne had the Chafifa she be Malkum Sayar. If Chafifa is only Bisayar, so what relevance is it whether she did Chafifa or not? The question should be about the Bedika, not about the Chafifa. Alavadish Mamina, the Iune Bishas Chafifa, Lahi Tali Le Begave. That you also have to do Iyun Bishas Chafifa. The cave in the Bishas Chafifa, who Birchitza, who do me the chafifa, the low lamely of the Bishas chafifa. Chitema imkein my ika bena yunu chafifa. If that's the case, that chafifa is with hot water, and you need both iyun and chafifa at the same time. So what is the difference between iyun and chafifa? Yeshlomar the iyune de gufa afilu b'maya kriri the chafifa smalkum sayar b'chamin. The difference is that Iyun is even with cold water, and Chafifa is with hot water. So again, according to the Ritva himself, the Ritva thinks that Iyun Minotaur is Bedika without hot water, without a comb. And Chafifa requires a comb and hot water. He quotes the Ravid and understands the Ravid to mean that Iyun requires water, but it's sufficient to have cold water, and Chafifa requires hot water. And Iyun, according to the Ravid, is b'chol aguf, as opposed to chafifa, which is only b'makom sayar. The Ramban samach vavim beiz nechidushim. Shema mina shafilu b'chol aguf tzricha la'ayin dvar Torah mishum dilma miyas b'midi. V'lagabi hachi makam esayar v'shar mekoma shebaguf shavin. That the requirement of Iyun applies to the entire body because the chatzitza is potentially problematic in the entire body. Eladasa ezra v'chiyesh dilma asya l'miti b'yunei d'sayar Mishum the Shriach Be Kitri, Achmer Be Chafifa. Along came Ezra and said it's true that Minotaur you need Iyun on the entire body, but we're concerned because hair is more complicated. much easier to not. It's easier to have a chatzitza. Therefore, as in Misakin chafifa for the hair. Hilgach by yune bikule gufe doraisa. Ubainami chafifa lamakam sayar mitakansa. Behind the Armina Mishmaisin, Nath Natasha Labina, Vitavla Losla Tvila Klamar, Imlo Chazar Vaina Benafsha, Bishas Tvila Mamish. Halvadim Inav Atma, Afabishal Chazar Lachov, Nirish Osla Tvila. So it has to be Ion Samach Latvila, even if Chafifa is not Samach Latvila. And concludes, Umiyu Minhaga Dinaga Nashi, Lemishav Kule Gufe Bechamimi. B'shas chafifa mishum mekama sasayar shabaguf hu dekriri mimar sechiluhu. Nachanami mashba, so he says that me'ikar adin, the requirement of chafifa is only b'sayar. The requirement of using hot water is only b'sayar. The minig is to wash the entire body in hot water. That's because there are areas around the whole body that have hair, and potentially could have a chatzitza there. So we do chafif on the whole body to cover all those areas. V'chein hechmiru b'nos Yisrael atman v'amavir minagzeh yimatech ala amud. If someone violates this minig of preparing by washing the entire body in hot water, then we bang him over the pillar, or her. And that's what he writes in the Lachos as well, the beginning of Parites. Din Torah shetehei tavelis ma'ayenes ba'atzma samach l'tfila u'bodekas kol gufa shema yesh ba dvar chotzeis b'tfila v'ezer b'istino tiknu shetei isha chofefes rosha v'chol seyar shaba v'mayim cham. The takanas Ezra is on the head and all hair. And in the Chidushim, he wrote that mishum and haga, we wash the entire body. The Rashba has almost the same nisuach with the slight difference. The Rashba writes, "Miu ha'inda nahu kulu nashi lemishtav kol gufai b'chamimi da shapir lahu miu ilo avdi hachli v'tavlan also la tefila." But if she didn't wash the entire body in chamin, it counts. Kaven the chayfi makom seyar b'chamin is because she did chafifa of the hair with hot water. Ubad kegufa and biyuni be'alma and did iyun on the rest of the body samach l'tfila. Miu tzara shetei bedika samach l'tfila. Inami deyada delenas aska bedavar chotzeis mishas bedika ashas tfila. So either you have to have the bedika samach l'tfila or you have to know that you didn't touch anything that potentially could have created chatzitza in the interim. So the footnote on the Rashba points out the slight difference in Nisuach between the Rashba and the Ramban is that they both agree that Me'ikar Adin, Chafifa, is only B'makom Sayar, and washing the entire body in hot water is Mishum and Haga. But he says the difference between the Ramban and the Rashba is the Ramban says that if you violate that minug of washing the entire body in hot water, then Yimatech Ala Amud, you beat her up. As opposed to the Rashba, he says that if she didn't do it, then also la tefila. So also la tefila sounds less harsh than yimasech ala amud. It sounds like it's not ma'akev, and it's not as bad. That's what the Shach writes this in Sifkat and Beis. Haskama saposkim de takanas Ezra eno ela bechafifa sayar ela shenagu lahachmir lachuf ulishtatev kolaguf lahachi makilim mekamet dvar bechafifa. So when it comes to chafifa, since me'ikar adin chafifa is only b'makom sayar, chafifas kolaguf is mishum en haga. So because that's only mishum en haga, as we'll see, there are situations where we may be inclined to be mako about certain aspects of chafifas kol aguf. Aval mash etzvicha la'ayin b'chol gufa, but the requirement of iyun shelo yehi davar chotzeis deraisa, but iyun is a din deraisa, and that much more strongly could be li'ikuva. That's what it says in Sifches. The Chaver writes in Sifches. Bimei Chol, im chafafa v'ina atzma hayom, v'tavla b'leil yom acher, also la tefila b'di'eved, afa pishalo hayu chafifa b'dika samach l'tefila. Avon lo chafa klal, lo also la tefila, afa pishalina b'atzma b'gufo, v'afilu chafa miyad acher tefila v'sarka b'masvek v'lo masa shum nima akasha lo also la tefila, ein sarach lo amar, im chafa b'makam seyar v'lo ina b'shar gufa, that even if a woman did all the chafifa that's required, but she wasn't ma'ayin b'shar gufa, the tefillah doesn't count because the requirement of iyan is min ha'torah. Okay. And we'll stop here for today. Next time, we'll pick up discussing a little bit more what exactly Ian involves. What's Li'ikuva in Ian? What's Li'ikuva in using a Masreik? And then we'll go on to discuss the timing of Chafifa. Okay. So Mirza Hashem will be back in person on Thursday. And...